thinking back to those Old Testament times where sacrifice played a prominent focal point of worship, it reminds us that worship was pretty gory at one point. There was lots of dead things lying around the place that were sacrificed to God. It probably would have got your surplice a bit messy at some point. But someone said that the problem with living sacrifices is they keep crawling off the altar. It's not always a sort of vision or something that you can imagine that you would appreciate. But maybe you cringe at offering yourself completely to God because the focus is sometimes on what you think you will lose when you make a sacrifice. Maybe it's because our idea of a sacrifice is gory, it's fatal. So it's not really a positive image. But Paul asks us in the reading to consider a different meaning to the word sacrifice. He calls us to remember that the root of the word is the same as that used for sacred. So instead of thinking of a sacrifice as something where we have to give something up or kill, Paul invites us to recognize that true sacrifice is about setting ourselves apart, about doing something that is sacred or holy. The thing we are to make holy is ourselves, our whole selves. So it changes the focus then away from what we would lose to how we would live. How can we, as devoted followers of Jesus, live sacred, set apart lives while still staying connected to the world in which we live? Let's face it, we have got to know people through our lives who are so holy that their detachment from reality is quite frustrating. We kind of wonder how they can live and survive because their feet aren't on this planet. And while they are so God-centered and full of love, their relevance, their significance is lost because they're not connected with day-to-day life. So how do we live in the world without being assimilated by the world? Paul tells us what it takes is that we are transformed into Christ's likeness rather than being conformed to the world. Through the renewing of our minds, we are able to know God's good and perfect will for us and become living sacrifices. Our transformation begins at the moment that we discover Jesus as our Lord, and it continues throughout our lives. In order to be transformed into Christ-like people, we have to also fight against that urge to conform to the world around us. We have to stop crawling down and off the altar. Paul reminds us that a Christian's transformation requires an entire mindset change. We have to start thinking differently in order to grow into that new identity as a child of God. We have to get our minds right, and that means getting our hearts in the right place. I wanted us to just think of one characteristic of living a sacred life in a secular world, and that's of exercising our giftedness. A lot of us think that we don't really bring much to the table. Some of us think that we bring everything to the table. But for most of us, the reality is that we sit somewhere in between. A gift always requires a giver. Paul urges his reader to have humility and to recognize the skills that have been given to us, not the things that are ours, that we have developed, but the things that have been given to us. Stuff that is from God, stuff that we can't take the credit for. As something that is given, we have the challenge to then take those things and use them as we should, rather than just letting them sit in the corner and gather dust. A theologian called Tom Wright tells us this: you can't just play at it when you feel like it. Christian service isn't a hobby, it's a divine calling. And if that calling is to make cups of coffee after church, that needs to be done with energy, care, and flair. And it's done beautifully here. And I can't wait to have my coffee and biscuits in a minute. But that challenge to actually do anything, everything in God's name, with a sprightliness, an air of dynamism, and wanting to actually see something good being done in even the smallest or what people may consider to be the least important thing. Verses 6 to 8 in the reading are so relevant to the context of stewardship, calling us to take what we've been given and then to use it for the glory of God. These are not secret gifts to be hidden away. They are to be made evident and to be used. They're made stronger as they're exercised. So actually, it is worth our while taking the things that we're given and using them as often as we can. Importantly, everyone is included. Every gift matters, and all that each of us has can be used in serving God in everyday things in life. Spiritual gifts used for the benefit of others, however, they contribute to our own spiritual growth. Using our gifts draws us more closely to Christ and his likeness. That transforms each of us into what God has created us to be. So it's about us doing and living out the gifts that we have. But it's also about living in community. How we treat one another within the church should show a way that we are living together that the world doesn't or can't experience. One person said the reason most of us are stuck is we do not have the kind of relationships it takes to sustain the level of work the Holy Spirit wills to do in our lives. So sometimes the gifts that we have are so big or significant that we need other hands to help us to deliver those goods and to show those gifts to others. The work of the Holy Spirit, transforming us as individuals with like-minded community, renewing our minds, that the world around us is desperate to see. It's why even when so many people write the church off or say that God is dead, we still see people coming and we still see new faces. Because the world around us sees something in us. Our ability to be the world in a distinctly Christian way, set apart, humble and holy, makes us a people who are different. People who are hungry for the good news that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, and that there is more to life than what we see with our eyes.